Coming off the heels of a Tisha B'Av, we are now almost at the Tu B'Av point, which is this coming Thursday night. So the next couple of nights, maybe we'll discuss some of the practical halacha l'maisa things that come out of a little bit machshav, a little bit halacha that comes out of the sugyas pertaining to Tu B'Av. So the crux of the sugya regarding Tu B'Av begins in Tainus Daf Chav Vav Amud Beis. The Gemara tells us as follows. It's really a Mishnah. Lo hayu yamim tovim liYisrael kechamisha asar B'Av. There were no greater days in the history of Klal Yisrael. Can someone please close the doors? Thank you. There were no greater days in Klal Yisrael as Chamisha Asar B'Av and Yom HaKippurim. Those were the greatest days of Yom Tov in the Jewish calendar. Why? Shebehen Benos Yisrael Yotzes Bechli Lavan. On those days, the Benos Yisrael, the Jewish girls, used to go out into the fields in Kli Lavan. They would be wearing white dresses, she'ulin, says the Gemara, which we're going to focus on tonight. No one used to wear their own clothing. No one wore their own gown or their own fancy dress. Everyone borrowed from somebody else. Why? Kidei she'lo levayish es mi she'ein lo. The Gemara says that the Chacham decreed that anyone who goes outside on these days to go find the Shidduch, as we know, they used to go out on Tu B'Av and on Yom HaKippurim to go find the Shidduch. So anyone who went outside used to borrow a dress from her friend. Uvenos Yisrael Yosef Bekramim. And the Jewish girls used to go out into the vineyards. Umaha yomers. What did these girls used to say when they went out into the fields? Bachur, sana einecha re'ema taborlach. Look out. What are you looking for in a shidduch? What type of girl are you looking for? Al titein einecha benoi. Don't look for the prettiest girl in the world. Tein einecha b'mishpacha. Look at what chashav yichas we have. Look how special we are. Shenemar, sheker achein vehevela yofi, isha yiras Hashem itasala. Fine. So this is something that happened every year on Tu B'Av as well as on Yom HaKippur. And all the Achronim are bothered exactly what type of business is this. It's a very inappropriate time on Yom Kippur, or I would think it's a little bit out of place that on Yom Kippur the girls should go outside and make a big dance and have all the, right, the Mishnah says they used to make a machal, they used to make a big circle in the vineyards, have them all dancing around, that the men should go look at them on Yom Kippur to go find the Shidduch, a little bit strange. Don't we find by the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, although it's aser to add on to the Beis HaMikdash, we know that by the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, they used to build a temporary structure. Hol Machlekes, the Rambam and the Ravid, exactly what permitted the Chachamim to allow such a thing, right? What right do they have to add on to the Beis HaMikdash? But we know that they added a balcony or a terrace onto the top of the Beis HaMikdash to make sure that the women stayed separated from the men. We are concerned. The Rambam even writes that on Shalosh Regalim, they used to have officers who would monitor. They would send out officers to every different neighborhood, every Jewish neighborhood, who would monitor and make sure that they were supervising carefully that no men and women should get together on the sometimes lightheaded opportunities that we have on Yom Tov. So this being the case, so what happened? All of a sudden, Yom Kippur, our guard is down, we're not concerned on Yom Kippur anymore, so what exactly is the story with this? So everyone has their own mahalach in explaining this. I'm not here to say them all, but one beautiful pshat I saw today is in the Teferis Yisrael on this very Mishnah in Tainus. It says the Teferis Yisrael, and I'll read it as follows. He says, and obviously this is al derech hadrash, because the Teferis Yisrael says he can't make any logical explanation into this Mishnah. He can't understand how it could be taken on face value that the men and women used to actually go out on Yom Kippur afternoon and try to go on a date. Yom Kippur, the men used to watch the women dance. He couldn't fathom that was the pshat. So it says it to Pharisee Yisrael, what exactly happened? This was a metaphorical. It wasn't really what was going on. It says it to Pharisee Yisrael, what the Mishnah really means is, B'Yom HaKippurim, Klal Yisrael, Korim La Kadosh Baruch Hu. Really, what the Mishnah means is that Klal Yisrael, the girl, the spouse in the marriage, calls out to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and we say, Bachur, which is what the Mishnah said that the women say. Klal Yisrael calls out to the Ribbono Shel Olam by the name Bachar, as we find in Shir HaShirim. He says that the Ribbono Shel Olam is referred to as a Bachar. Ba'omrimlo, and we say to the Ribbono Shel Olam, Sana einecha ma taborlach. Look around the world and decide which nation you're going to choose for yourself. Ratzalomer, ayei uma kadosha ba'olam kazu. If you look around the world, you'll never find a nation as wonderful and as prestigious as we are. Al titein einecha benoi. Don't look around to all the fancy things that all the umas ha'olam do. Da'af agav shechatu lefanecha. Even though we have violated Yisurim in our lives, titein einecha b'mishpacha. Look at our yichus. Banecha, b'nei b'chunecha heim, b'nei Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov. We're your children. We're the children of Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov. Look at us. Don't choose anyone else. Choose us. Sheker achein al shahar umos, hevel ayofi shalahem. All the umos ha'olam make fancy things, and they live in fancy ways, and they do wonderful things. But it's sheker achein v'hevel ayofi, kavanasam rak lahachnif lach, ha'al ishtecha, Hakalasha Hakatana, but your wife, Klal Yisrael, who's waiting for you, Shehi Yiras Hashem, that all we think about all the time is Yiras Hashem, He Tisala. Says the Tiferes Yisrael that this is what the Mishnah is referring to, that on Yom Kippur they used to have, the Tzadikim would get together, and they would beg the Ribbono Shel Olam to find favor in our eyes and not look at everyone else. He should see that the Umas HaOlam are Sheker Achein VeHevel HaYofi. Anyway, the bottom line is that this Gemara says that the Chachamim made a takana that no woman should go outside with her own dress, with her own fancy dress. Everyone should borrow or should take one on loan and wear her friend's dress. So I just want to look into a couple of sugyas in a few places in Shas where we find such a concept, that this concept of Shalo Levayis Ishmi She'ein Lo, we don't want to embarrass a person who can't live up to that standard, who won't be able to do it. This does dictate certain halachic principles in certain cases. And we'll go through a couple of examples. Number one is in Pesachim Daf Pei Vav, the Gemara tells us as follows. A person has to eat Karban Pesach, as we know, v'chabura. Karban Pesach has to be eaten in the designated group of people that join together to purchase the Karban Pesach. Not only does it have to be eaten v'chabura echad, it has to be eaten b'makom echad. Right? We have to sit around one table. We can't switch rooms in the middle. We have to be eating the Karban Pesach in one specific place. Says the Mishnah over there in Pesachim Daf Pei Vav Med Aleph as follows. Although the halacha is that I'm not allowed to switch places, once I chose this chabura to eat with by giving money to them originally to be mishtatev in the Karban Pesach, I have to eat with them as well. Says the Mishnah, hakala, if we have a kala in the middle of Sheva Brachos who's eating with our group, hofechas panel. She's allowed to turn around, she's allowed to move her chair and sit without the group. What do you mean? Why is she allowed to do that? So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, why is that true? Says Rabbi Yochanan, mipnei shehi busha. And Rashi and other Mefarshim explain, what do you mean she's embarrassed? What's the problem? So, she just put on a new sheitel, like the Tiferes Yisrael says, the Tarsus Yantz says, she's very paranoid that people are staring at her, that she doesn't look nice, she used to walk around with her hair like this, and now it's going to be like that. She's wearing all this fancy jewelry because she's the Kala, so she's afraid that everyone's staring at her. So since she is embarrassed, and she's not comfortable sitting in front of everyone else, and having them watch her eat the Karban Pesach, says the Gemara, she's allowed to violate the din of Shalom B'Mkomo, by the Karban Pesach, Shalom B'Chabura. Tosfos over there discusses it. But she's allowed to violate the din and move away and actually eat separately from the rest of the group. Imagine, because Shalom Levayish, we don't want to embarrass her and make her do something that she's not comfortable doing. The Rambam says, the Rambam states it clearly in Hilchos Karban Pesach, Parakas Al-Hadala, the Rambam writes that we allow her to violate the halacha of eating B'Chabura Achas because we're concerned about her busha. So that's one example where we find this in the Gemara. A second example, which is more similar to the first Gemara, is in Ma'ikan Daf Chav Zayin. The Gemara says as follows, Tana Rabbanan, Barishon Ohayim Alichem Ebeisa Avel, we know that now we bring the Avel food when he's sitting Shiva, because it's very difficult for him. The whole day he's entertaining company that are coming to entertain him, I guess. So we generally try to bring over food to help out a little bit. So Barishon Ohayim, it used to be, Ohayim Alichem Ebeisa Avel, Ashir, Beklas, Oshal Kesef, Oshal Zav, the neighbors, the friends of the Avil, if they were wealthy neighbors, if it was a wealthy neighborhood, so they would bring over fancy foods that were prepared in big gold and silver vessels. Va'aniim, and those who were not so fortunate, those who did not have that much money, the Salinitzar, they would have food brought over to them in wicker baskets. Nothing fancy, just regular plain baskets. V'hayu'aniim is baishim. And the Aniim were very embarrassed that their friends should come over with these wicker baskets. Meanwhile, we all know that if you would have gone down the block to the rich person's house, he was getting food brought in these fancy vessels. His kinu, so the Chachamim realized this was going to be an issue. So they made a takana shayuhum hakom meviim b'sali nitzarim shalarava klufa mipnei kvodim shalaniim. Because we're concerned of the kavod of the aniim, of the busha of the aniim, so therefore we made a takana that everyone has to bring over the food to the avel's house in a wicker basket. Tana Rabbanan, the same Gemara says that it used to be in the base ha'avel, they would bring, the wealthy people would bring over drinks in fancy cups, and the poor people would have more simple cups. So then the Chacham realized this wasn't a good idea, and they decided that everyone's going to have the same exact thing served to them when they happen to be sitting Shiva, Rahman al-Islam. And the third thing the Gemara says is, with Inyane Kvura, that the fancy people used to have tachrichim that were very expensive and very nice, very beautiful, and the poorer people did not, they had very plain. So then the Chacham made a takana that from here on in, everyone has to wear simple tachrichim, because we don't want people to be feeling bad that their family member is not being buried in the fancy tachrichim just because they couldn't afford it. So that's the same as this Gemara, that Kadesh Lalavayish, who made a takana, that even if a woman has a nice fancy dress that she would wear it on Tishba, on Tuba Av, or on Yom HaKippurim, still we assume that she has to borrow from her friend because we don't want her to be embarrassed. The Gemara Pesachim Daf Pei Beis tells us that if a person's Karban Pesach becomes Tameh, so the halacha is that's Asur B'Achila, obviously. So what's a person supposed to do with it? So the Gemara says he has to burn it. So where's he supposed to burn it? So the Gemara says that he's supposed to burn it right outside the Makam HaMikdash. So who's supposed to pay for the wood to burn it? So the Gemara says, Me'ikra Din, I'm supposed to pay for it. I made it become Tameh, it's my fault. So I'm supposed to pay for the wood. But said the Gemara, there were those who were very embarrassed that they couldn't afford to put wood out to burn their Karban Pesach that became Tameh. So the Gemara says that the Chacham decided that they made a new gzera, that now, from here on in, we're allowed to take Atzei Hekdesh, we're allowed to take the wood from the Beis HaMikdash itself and use it for this personal use. Even though the Rishonim point out, there's an Isser Me'ila, this wood for Hekdesh is only allowed to be used for Hekdesh, so how am I allowed to take it for this individual person who just can't afford his wood? Said the Gemara, no, because we're concerned Mipnei Abusha, we're concerned that someone's going to be embarrassed that he doesn't have. So therefore the Chachamim overlooked the Isser Me'ila and they said, we're allowed to use the Atzei Hekdesh for this individual person's usage. So the Rishonim then point out, it can't be that there's a real Isser Me'ila, so the Rishonim say, okay, you have to say that this wood was given ala tonight, that in case later on down the line we're going to need it for some sort of individual purpose, so we're allowed to use it. But another example which we find that the Chacham were very concerned with Pnei HaBusha, that we have to make some sort of universal takana to make sure everyone's classified under the same category. And one final example is the Mishnah Bikurim. This perhaps is the most famous. The Mishnah says in Perek Gimel Mishnah Ches, HaShirim Meviim Bikurim Beklasha Shal Kesef Vizav. When the farmers used to come to Yerushalayim, so the rich farmers used to come to Yerushalayim with fancy utensils. They would come up and bring the Bikurim in big baskets that were made of gold and silver. V'haniim, and the poor individuals, the poor farmers, used to come with wicker baskets. V'hasalam ha-bikurim of the aniim. And the baskets of the aniim, not only did the bikurim go to the kohanim, but the baskets of the aniim also went to the kohanim. And the gold and silver ones of the ashirim, they told the ashirim, take it back home. We don't want to keep it. Asked the Tosis Yontif, why aren't we concerned over there that the aniim are going to feel bad? We're all farmers. We're all trying to do the same thing. You happen to be doing a lot better in business than I am, but I'm going to be very embarrassed when I come up to Yerushalayim and the big fancy farmers are holding the gold and silver baskets and I'm walking into Yerushalayim with my nothing, with my wicker. So the Tosis Yontif has this kasha, why is it that we're not concerned about the feelings of the aniim? The Chacham should have gotten up and said, from here on in, everyone has to use wicker. Says the Tosis Yontif, no. Any time that we have a concern, Mishim Kavod Beis Elokeinu or Hidur Mitzvah, we don't have to worry about the feelings of the aniim. We don't have to worry about it. There's no reason to make it takana. Why? Because everyone's doing it l'shem shamayim. I'm not going to feel bad when I'm looking at someone else's basket. I'm doing whatever I can l'shem shamayim. I'm doing what I can to make my Hidur Mitzvah as wonderful as it can be. So therefore, says the Tosis Yontif, when it comes to mitzvahs, we don't make this overarching principle that we're concerned of the aniim, so we have to make a takana. Says the Tosis Yontif, we overlook the aniim in such a case. Another teretz that's given is by Bikurim specifically, it says, V'samachta b'chol ha'tov asher nasan Hashem Elokecha. By Bikurim it says a person is supposed to be happy with what he has. He's supposed to be content. He's supposed to be very satisfied with everything he has. And therefore he's not going to be jealous of others, because the whole point of Bikurim is to be Meshabeach the Ribbono Shel Olam for my lot. And I'm not going to be jealous of other people, because that's the whole essence of my bringing Bikurim, is that I'm going to be very happy with myself. One last beautiful pshat that I saw in the Malbim today. The Malbim in the Parsha Bikurim says the following. He says that if you look carefully, the Mishnah tells us that the only baskets that the Kohanim used to keep from bringing up the Bikurim were the baskets of the Aniyim. But the baskets of the Ashirim they would give back. So I always thought the pshat was, you have a $1,000 basket that's made of gold, so what right does the Kohen have to keep it in his back pocket? That's not fair. But if you have a little wicker basket, so let him keep it. Says the Malbim, no, that's not why. I'll tell you the reason why. He says, because a farmer who couldn't afford it, he couldn't afford a gold or silver basket. What he used to do? He would sit there for weeks and weeks weaving a basket by himself made out of reeds. He would put every bit of his heart and soul into making this basket. So we want to show the farmer, we're machshiv more, that basket that you worked so hard on making, although you can't afford anything special. But that's worth more to us than the gold and the silver that the rich person just went to the store and bought right away. As the Malbim writes, he thinks it's a bizuy mitzvah. You're trying to get an easy way out of it. So you can afford it, so you just buy your way out of it. But we're trying to show the farmer how much we respect the hard work and effort that he put into it. So therefore, The Kohen tells him, not only am I going to eat your Bikurim, I'm also going to keep your basket because it's very special to me. That's what the Malbim says. And with this, the Malbim is Miyashiv, why the Chachamim did not make a Takana that everyone should bring wicker. It's not a punishment, it's not an embarrassment for an Ani to bring a wicker basket. We show him that we think it's very special. We're Machshiv it very much. It's not an embarrassment for him. So that's why he says, that's why the Chachamim did not make this special halacha over here that everyone has to bring the same type of basket. The Gemara in Yuma tells us as well that some Kohanim used to, their mothers used to make them beautiful, extravagant, big day kahuna because they were wealthy and they were able to afford it. They made them nicer than everybody else. And you see over there as well that there's no concern that when we come to a Dvar Mitzvah, there's no concern that one Kohen is going to be embarrassed of the other, that he doesn't have as beautiful big day kahuna as his friend, because we assume that everyone's doing it l'shem shamayim and everyone's doing l'shem hidur mitzvah, everyone's doing as best as they can. And there's no reason to get up over there and make a takana. An interesting shiloh that I saw in the Ha'aris of Rabbi Yashiv on Ksubis is that there was a person who sent him a shiloh that he dedicated a Sefer Torah. And if you look in the Aron Kodesh, so all the regular Sefer Torah have a silver breastplate on it, and they have a keser on the top that's made of silver. This person was extremely wealthy. He decided he wants to give one of gold. He wants to outdo everybody else. He wants to give one of gold, hidur mitzvah. And that's what he wanted to do. Then he raised the issue, maybe there's a problem, Kadesh Lo Levayus is Misha Einlo. A regular person who donates a Sefer Torah can't afford such a thing. He can only afford, he put into his budget the cost of the Sefer Torah and the cost of silver to put onto the Sefer Torah, but he can't afford to go and buy gold. So now that you're upping the standard, so now you're going to embarrass everyone else who can't afford to do such a thing, who can't afford to put ornaments on a Sefer Torah as beautiful as the gold one that you bought. So he sent the Shaila, am I humiliating everybody else by donating a Sefer Torah that has gold crowns on it? Maybe that shouldn't be allowed because of all these different marmakamas that we find that a person has to be careful, kadesh lo levayis es misha eino. He shouldn't put pressure on someone who can't afford to keep up to his standard. So it's a long discussion, it's a back and forth, whether the mantle for the Sefer Torah is considered an actual part of the Sefer Torah, maybe it's only tashmishik tusha, it's not a hiddur mitzvah, but the bottom line is that if you look in light of this Tosfos Yontov, like we said before, by Bikurim, when it comes to a Dvar Mitzvah, we assume a person is doing it L'Shem Shemayim, and he doesn't have his own intentions in mind. So why would I be embarrassed that somebody else was able to give a gold ornament for a Sefer Torah? Just so happens to be, I can't afford that, I gave what I could afford, and that was the most beautiful thing for me. So when it comes to a Dvar Mitzvah, generally the overarching principle is that we don't assume that a person has to worry about being mevayish, the ani who can't afford it, just like we find by Bikurim, like we find by the Big Day Kuna as well. But when it comes to other things, that is something to keep in mind. And that's why, again, we'll talk over the next couple of nights a little bit more about the halachic aspects of Tu B'Av. But the whole sugya begins that on Tu B'Av, they used to go out into the fields, they used to try to find the shidduch. And on Tu B'Av, they used to be careful to borrow dresses from somebody else because they were concerned, kadesh lo levayish, as misha einla. So this is something that the Mishnah is telling us to take a little bit carefully, to think about a little bit more sensitively when we think about the society that we live in, when everyone looks at everything else that we have. So we should sometimes take note of the fact that we don't want to be mevayish mi she'eino yachol as we are.